You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Amy's in studio. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good.
Awesome.
We've got Greer Twiss in the studio with us today.
Indeed.
Welcome, Greer.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming up.
Pleasure.
Greer Twiss is one of New Zealand's longest working and producing sculptors. And is responsible for the iconic fountain sculpture up on the corner of K Road and Simon Street, which you may recognise. Twiss has worked in a number of mediums, including lead and fibreglass, but he's best known for his tactile bronzes, which he appears to set in motion by strategically angling the works on small bases. Twiss's sculpture is included in public and private collections in New Zealand, including Auckland Art Gallery Toi Otamaki and Te Papa Tongariro Museum in New Zealand, of New Zealand. His work is also represented in numerous international public and private collections. Greer. I love the work you do with the female form. I love it. Primarily,
sounds fun.
We're mainly going to be talking about shell casings today, which is on at White Space at the moment. But before we do, I just want to say I love the work that the way you work with the female form, especially when you've used fragmented body parts, made even more fragmented by the way which you use your medium, be it layered bronze or wax, building the form and then draping the fabrics over, accentuating the beauty and strength without seeming brazenly voyeuristic. I really especially love your earlier 2007 Ponsonby works where you've mused over the young hip families and their giant prams and their little dogs. Yeah. And you've created a series of works around this where all material has been stripped away, leaving only naked forms and their prams. I imagine, now this leads me to my next question, I imagine in Auckland in the 60s, the sculptural world would have been portrayed the female form very differently. Can you tell us a bit about the sculpture scene of that time?
Well, you're looking at a time when the art schools and the training that was going on of artists in those days was very academic. So there was an awful lot of academic drawing in the life room. It was the sort of main area of teaching, almost.
Yeah.
Like I went through Elam in those days, and one didn't do anything that was at all... I was going to say using your brain, but that's not true. But no extension beyond what was in front of you.
So very traditional in a
way. Yeah, very traditional.
So
and very mannered in terms of the way it was done too. You know, there was a correct way to hold the pencil sort of
thing. Yes. You know. Oh, how interesting.
And I noticed there's an exhibition on, I think it's still on in the university, of female figure things. And some of the comments in the catalogue are quite fascinating because a lot of the drawings that... there have got little drawings on the side, which I know were done by the teachers. They used to come around and draw all over your work.
Wow.
You know, to show you how to do it.
Wow.
So, you know, you got this, and you got the sort of mechanical type of discussion about how a joint went and how this fitted and that. And that was a drawing on the side by your teacher.
So when you start, there's that whole discussion around if you start learning everything about the human form and the mechanics, then you can, once you've mastered that, you can then break away into more abstract. What do
I mean,
your work, this is what's beautiful about your work, is you do break away into a more abstract approach, a dismantled approach, but you can still feel the weight and the solidness in the actual form because you have such a strong understanding of the structure.
Yeah, it's a curious... when I first left art school, I, for about, 5 years, did nothing but male figures.
Oh.
Because I was really... I started to get interested in the... It was the time of Peter Snell and all that carry-on, Helberg and so on. And you'd see them running around jogging and, you know... So I got fascinated by that and went and watched them run and things like that, and did a male figure. And people used to comment, "Why didn't I do female figures?" You know, which was
so. Does that just, you know, your earlier work? I'm thinking of are the red legs. Yeah, privately owned, but I saw them in your gorgeous book that you've got out. And their red legs, I assumed they were female, but actually they're probably male, and then there's all this blood coming off the bottom of them. How did that... Well, I assumed it was blood, and I thought it was female.
Really. No, they're definitely female legs.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Is it blood?
No, it's certainly...
I mean, I know it's not blood.
No. It was a shadow. The shadow. It's the projection of the figure. I was looking at perceptual things in those days, yeah. In terms of what you didn't see. In a photograph, you chop things off.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming in from one side. Doesn't worry you at all. But in sculpture, it's sort of strange to have an arm that just pops in from one side and an arm from another side and nothing in between. And I was looking at sort of the potential of doing that in sculpture and trying to throw that ease with which you look at bits of body by showing the bits that normally are chopped off. We all got quite happy with torsos where there are no legs and no arms, but these are low, just the legs. And then I started postulating what the figure was actually like and what sort of shadow it would cast if it was totally there.
Yeah. So,
and they became the platforms on which the work sat.
Very stunning works, that. Being a sculptor, you're aware of how things are presented. I'm going to bring us into your current exhibition at the moment now. So you're aware of how things are presented on a plinth or on a case. With shell casings, you present a large body of the work that you have on display there is on a simply crafted stool with works stacked in their glass cases, which have also been made by you, and then encapsulated within a large plastic bag or individually, which bears your signature. It's like walking into a museum workroom with the transition between storage and display. Because of this awareness of the parallels between museum and the role of the artist in terms of studying and representing, and the fact that you have a wax Mickey Mouse head. This is a Damien Hirst question, which I know will potentially be. In terms of studying and representing, and the fact you have a Mickey Mouse head in one of the cases in the show, I'm curious to know what your thoughts are around Damien Hirst, and especially that came to mind because of his latest work that's in Venice, which I know you haven't seen, but it's about a shipwreck that he's created, and he's brought all the work up from under the water, apparently, the story is, and then he's presented it, this imaginary shipwreck and all its contents, in it exactly like it would be displayed in a museum with archaeological rebuilds as well and studies. And I was wondering what your thoughts are around Damien Hirst. And
I'm not a great fan of Damien Hirst because I'm not a great fan of the sort of super branding type thing that goes on in some people's work. And that particular work that you're talking about of mine with Mickey Mouse was directly about that, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
If I gave them all individual tags, branding would have been the word that I gave for that work, because it's Mickey Mouse on the top with the two circles on its head, and down below that is a saint with the one circle. And here are two branding things. If you see somebody wandering around the street with two big round discs on their head, you immediately think of Mickey Mouse. If they wander around with a golden disc behind their head, you think of a saint. You know, there's a way of encapsulating it by putting a label on it.
And branding in a way has got it's got a double-edged sword, really, because it's natural that we categorise things and they become icons and branded in a way, which kind of brings me to my next question. As well as the sculptural pieces in this show, you have a series of collages on display, and you've always done mixed media collage, beautiful collages, and some of them you use a discarded Christmas tree as a metaphor sort of for, well, do you, as a metaphor for Christianity in today's environment. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, I'm disillusioned by society to a large extent. And I'm disillusioned by a whole lot of that sort of faith stuff. I've just read a book called Sapiens. I don't know if you've read it, which is...
Who by?
Goodness gracious.
Doesn't matter. We can Google that.
Yeah. Anyway, it traces the sort of development of human society. And what it sort of ends up in doing is talking about the whole capitalist and commercial system that we have today being another form of religion control thing, you know. And you know, we're just constantly building up these control systems, which sometimes are false and so, you know.
Inevitably collapse, essentially, if they're too finite, don't they?
Yeah. And so I was getting angry about the whole religious thing. So I started making, the big one with the two figures on the floor was about the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
With a big fossil in the background. Well, you know, the two things just don't go side by side, because you can't have the whole genetic belief as well as the whole game of the Garden of Eden. So it was, was that. And the one with the Christmas tree was a broken doll and the remains of the Christmas tree, which were, you know, I had lying outside my studio. How the hell did you get rid of the tree? So I put it in the sculpture.
That's nice.
And so a number of the works were about that sort of moment of disillusionment. But that sort of got morphed away in those things. But the drawings, the collages, I've got lots of other imagery too, which are, you know, Syrian corpses.
Yeah, I saw that. And then and then some drawings from your grandchildren.
Yeah. So it's all a play against a sort of ho-ho, life's wonderful, but underneath there's some pretty nasty stuff going on at the moment.
Yeah, especially I really like the Christmas tree being used as an analogy, I guess, in the sense in that it looks at the culture of Christmas and sitting around and going, yay, happy, everything's good.
Yeah, and can you believe that they're now starting to advertise for Christmas?
I know.
You know, it just gets so unreal. And this strange reality of where you pick up a magazine and there's one of the pieces I used is a thing out of a sports magazine, which is a girl in a bikini floating. She's inside a negative space capsule in a jet aeroplane, you know? So she's floating like an angel. And I just thought, isn't it, you know, sort of obscene, the whole counterpart of that against the dead Syrian figures lying.
I hope. Do you think things are going to? We're almost out of time, but do you think things are going to get better? Please tell us yes.
Cross your fingers for Saturday.
I'm actually a little bit scared as to what to do on Saturday night. I'm like, maybe I'll just go to bed early. I just don't want to know. You know, I'm just so frightened. Anyway, I would love to talk to you more about this, Greer, but we are out of time. But the show you've got on at White Space at the moment is just absolutely beautiful. It's so arresting how challenging it is just on a simple, this is a work of art, which you've covered in a plastic bag, which is incredibly inspired. And you've then signed the bags, which is almost Duchampian in a way, which I really love as well.
It's sort of a joke, because Deb said, oh, I'll take the bags off when anybody wants to see the work.
No.
And I said, no. So I signed them and said, now, if they take the work, the bags off, they can unsign the work.
Oh, you are naughty.
And you're so playing with
it. You are naughty. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, this is very good. I was forced to inspect all the packaging and everything, and I loved it. Thank you so much for coming up. Shell Casings is on at White Space at 12 Primer Road in Ponsonby. It's on until the 24th of December, so get along. Especially this weekend. It'll be the last weekend, next weekend, I think.
This weekend. Comes down on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I'm a little bit. So 24th comes down this Sunday. Go to whitespace.co.nz for more info. Thank you, Greer.
Thank you.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touche.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.